Say, want a brand new breakfast idea? Then get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yes, indeed. Try the brand new cereal assortment with 10 individual packages in all. 4 Wheaties, 4 Cheerios, 2 Kix. All top favorites and all extra fresh. Yes, it's fun to take your pick from Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get that tray today.
And now, the Betty Crocker cereal tray presents... The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure of Marked Money. Amazing offer! Listen! Betty Crocker's cereal tray now offers you official Green Hornet ring. It's the most remarkable ring in years. A secret night signaling ring. A secret signal radiator. Secret money compartment. Bears official seal of the Green Hornet. Get yours now. Offer closing fast. Hear full details later in this program. Big plane neared the end of a cross-country flight. Linda Travis took out a letter and read it for the last time. Her mission was a confidential one. After years of service as a private confidential secretary to Britt Reed's father, the attractive girl was en route to the metropolis to learn how Britt was conducting himself as publisher of the Daily Sentinel.
My instructions, Linda, are few.
Britt must not know that you are employed by me. Get a position of some kind on the staff of the Daily Sentinel. Report to me regularly. I must know whether or not my son is knuckling down to business. You'd better destroy this letter.
Okay, Chief. I'll destroy the letter.
Is your seatbelt fastened?
Seatbelt?
Yes, Miss Travis. We'll be landing in 5 minutes.
We've made good time.
You can see the airport right over there.
Why, sure enough.
We'll circle to come in against the wind.
It's been a lovely flight, and Mercy. Well, look down there.
Huh?
Well, right below. Why, there's been an accident on that highway.
Rather.
Well, it looks as though that car rolled over a few times after it hit the ditch.
Yes. Why, it must have happened just a few minutes ago. The ambulance is just arriving.
Get back, boys. Get back, everybody. Give the doctor room.
You got any facts, officer?
Yeah. That convertible left the road and rolled over 2 or 3 times. Maybe you can save him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, come on, Joe, and bring the stretcher.
No one saw it happen.
Was there just one man in the car?
Yes, I guess so.
He must have lost control of his car.
Doc, he lost control because he was shot.
Shot?
Yeah, see for yourself. Got a bullet through the left side.
Any idea who did it, officer?
No, but I know there are a lot of guys who had a grudge against that bird.
Yeah?
Yeah. He used to be a cheap punk, a petty racketeer. Then he began to get big. He muscled his way to big time. On the way up, he stepped on plenty of his pals. His name is Jerry Jerome.
Yeah, he's pretty well banged up.
Oh, well, Doc, if you don't mind, I'll ride the ambulance with you. Jerome might name the gunman if he regains consciousness.
Yeah, if he regains consciousness.
Linda Travis thought no more about the accident she had viewed from the air until after she had checked in at her hotel and gone to the Daily Sentinel building. Then, to her surprise, she learned that the crack-up was front-page news.
Send the paper here.
Boy.
Yeah?
Paper boy.
Here you are, Lenny.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take the paper. Read all about it.
Wow. This certainly gives me an entering wedge. Well, at least has something to talk about. Pardon me. Is Mr. Reed's office on this floor?
Huh? Reed's office? Oh, yes'm. I'm going that way. I go with you so you don't get lost.
Thank you.
But confound it, Gunnigan, I tell you, there's got to be some way to get in there.
That's Britt Reed over there.
I see.
Me? My name is Axford, Michael Axford. Just step over this way, miss.
Hey, Mike, where are you going, huh?
Ah, yeah, thank you, Bob.
Well, what about Larry? He's always bright that he can get into any place. Can he get into that hospital room and be on hand when and if Jerry Jerome regains consciousness?
Larry's over at the hospital right now, boss. He called a few minutes ago. The information desk in the lobby is as close as he can get to Jerome.
Well, who is with Jerome? Does he know that?
The doctor and nurses, that's all.
Yeah. What doctor's on the case?
Doc Shotton. And Reed, he's one medico that can't be bulldozed. He's been hand in glove with Jerry Jerome's hoodlums for a long time.
Gunnigan, who do you think shot Jerome?
I'd lay 2-1 on Rod Pomeroy.
Pomeroy, huh?
Sure. He used to control the bookie parlors here in town. Also had the coin machines until Jerome took over.
Didn't Pomeroy and Jerome used to be partners?
Sure they did. They dabbled in everything, including blackmail and extortion. Then they split.
And Jerome took over.
Right. Jerome went up, Pomeroy went down.
If we could only get a man in that hospital room. I tell you, Gunnigan, if Jerome regains consciousness, his statement will be an 8-column banner.
Yes, if we could get it exclusive.
Well, I know the superintendent of that hospital. He's obligated to this newspaper.
It don't mean a thing, boss. Not even the super can get a reporter in a room when the doctor in charge says no.
Eddie, I just took a young lady into the office.
Yes, I saw you, Axford.
Oh, you did, eh? Say, isn't she all right? By golly, she's smart, too.
I'll see you later, Gunnigan.
Yeah. If you can think of a way of getting into that hospital room, let me know.
Reed, that girl's name is Travis. Miss Linda Travis.
Some other time, Axford. I'm trying to think of angles.
Yeah, but Reed, this girl, she's...
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Reed, so this is Mr. Reed.
Yeah. Reed, this is Miss Linda Travis.
How do you do, Miss Travis?
Mr. Reed, I want to go to work for this newspaper.
I was telling her, Reed, that now you're up to your ears trying to cover the Jerome shooting.
I read about it in your last edition.
I see. Miss Case, get the superintendent of that hospital on the line.
Very well.
You've got to get a man in Jerome's room.
Mr. Reed. I'll hold the line open. Mr. Reed, what makes you so sure that Jerome will squeal if he regains consciousness?
Well, call it a hunch, if you like.
Does it have to be a man?
Huh?
I mean to say, you want someone in the room of that hoodlum who was shot, in case he regains consciousness and makes a statement. Is that it, Mr. Reed?
That is it, Miss Travers.
Well, how about a nurse?
Hmm?
Perhaps a nurse could get into the room. I'm a trained nurse.
You are? Do you have credentials?
Yes, of course. If you're going to talk to the superintendent of the hospital, perhaps you could arrange for me... Dr. Stebbins is on the line.
Oh, good.
Do you want to take it in your office?
I'll talk to him on your phone. Hello? Hello, Dr. Stebbins. Reed calling. Pretty good, thanks. And you? Well, Stebbins, I've been wondering if those articles we published were of any help to you in getting girls to train as nurses.
The indirect approach.
I'm glad to hear it. Oh, then you need trained nurses, too. Well, I'll tell you, Doctor, I think I can send a girl over. She's a trained nurse, might be able to step right in. Yes, her name is Linda Travis.
By golly, Miss Travis, it looks like you're going to get a job.
Oh, there's one thing, Dr. Stebbins. I want a little favor from you. You have a patient there by the name of Jerome. Yes, I know a reporter's been trying to get to him. I thought perhaps you could assign Miss Travis to his case. Very well, I'll send her over. Thanks a lot. Miss Travis, go over to the General Hospital and report to Dr. Stebbins. Now, he'll do the best he can to get you into Jerry Jerome's room.
Very well.
And remember, this is your big chance. You'll be in a position to get a story that no one else can get. Your job with this paper depends on what you do.
I'll do my best.
Axford, you'd better go along, just in case.
I got it, Reed. That's a good idea.
In case of what?
Miss Travis, I don't think you're going into any danger, but we're not going to take chances.
Danger?
Jerry Jerome is a crook. The police have little on him, but he's guilty of almost everything in the book, including murder and extortion. Oh. Now, his doctor, Dr. Shotten, has managed to stay on the right side of the law, but he's generally recognized as a gangster doctor.
How exciting.
He was called in because his name was in Jerome's pocket as the person to be called in case of accident. You watch your step and report directly to me.
Very well, Mr. Reed.
Good luck to you.
Come on, Miss Travis. We can go in my car. It's right down at the curve. See you later, Reed.
Right.
Opportunist.
Huh?
She'd better not be bluffing. About being a nurse, I mean.
Whatever gave you that idea?
I don't know, Mr. Reed. But there's something about that girl that I don't like.
Oh, nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's a woman's intuition. Don't trust her too far, Mr. Reed. That's all I've got to say.
At the General Hospital, Dr. Shotten had left his patient momentarily to talk in the visitor's lounge to a man with shifty eyes and furtive manner.
You want to know if there's a chance for Jerome, huh, Pamela?
That's what I asked.
Where in?
None of your business, Doc.
Sure. You needn't worry about me, Rand. Cigarette?
Yeah.
If I ever told all that I know about you and some of the others...
Save it. Just answer my question.
Mm-hmm. Light?
Thanks.
Jerome hasn't one chance in 100.
Good. Now tell me this. Is he likely to recover consciousness?
That's doubtful. Very doubtful.
All right, now get this. I want you to stay with him all the time, night and day. Don't worry about your fee. I'll see that you're paid. If Jerome gets conscious, I want to know what he says.
I see.
Tell me, nobody else. Not even the cops.
Yeah. You're asking a great deal.
I know what I'm asking, Doc. You've always been paid well for what you did.
I'll do what I can, Rod. But tell me. Why did you shoot him?
Who says I shot him?
Don't hold out on me, God.
The dirty double-crosser had it coming. He tried to frame me in that Talbot deal.
The Talbot deal?
Yeah. The two of us collected 20 grand from Talbot on a little extortion proposition. After we got the dough, we found out the cash was too hot to handle. Talbot had kept a record of the numbers on the bills.
But Talbot was killed.
That's right. Jerry Jerome did the shooting. But he used a gun that was registered in my name. I didn't even know Talbot was dead until after Jerome got my fingerprints on the gun. And he told me. He's had that gun ever since. Holding it over my head. Threatening to turn over the law if I didn't pay whatever he wanted. Well, I paid. Yeah, I paid and paid. Till Jerome got all I had. But I'm square with him now.
Well, what you say is a great surprise to me.
Yeah?
Yes, indeed. Police and the press, in fact, everyone, blamed that Talbot extortion and murder on the Green Hornet.
Doc, Shotten.
Rod, that's Jerome.
Don't let him talk, see? Don't let him talk.
Dr. Shotten, you better come in quickly. Your patient...
Yes, yes, I'll take charge.
Doc, where are you?
No. Let me in there.
No, you can't come in. No visitors.
Out of my way, see?
Why, you...
What about it, Doc?
I told the nurse.
What's that? What'd he say? What'd he say, Doc?
Dead. Nurse, patient is dead.
I'll call the supervisor right away.
Wait a minute, sister. What'd the patient tell you before he died?
Stand aside.
What'd he say?
Stand aside, Pomeroy. Let the nurse go.
Listen, Doc, Jerome told her something. I've got to know what it is.
We'll talk to her as soon as she makes her report. Now relax. You have nothing to worry about. Jerome is dead.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. Listen carefully. This wonderful offer will be made only one more time. Only once more. Remember, right now, while they last, the Betty Crocker cereal tray offers you an official Green Hornet ring, an amazing secret night signaling ring.
You can use it to send secret messages to your friends at night. The darker the night, the better it works.
The way it works is terrific. It uses no batteries, no wires, no bulbs of any kind. Yet light waves come from the secret signal radiator in a mysterious bluish-white glow, clearly visible 25 feet away.
The signal radiator of this ring is something sensationally new. It's a new luminous plastic lustron. Over this amazing secret signal radiator is a swinging shutter, so you can make up a code of your own to send secret messages. For instance, one long flash followed by one short flash might mean, "Danger! Don't move!"
We honestly believe this is the most remarkable ring ever offered on any radio program. It's not a copy or an imitation. It's exactly like the ring worn by the Green Hornet and Cato in the Green Hornet stories.
It even has the official seal of the Green Hornet embossed on top. By pressing this seal against paper or other soft material, you can leave the famous identification mark of the Green Hornet himself.
What a ring! It's made of smooth, shining metal. Not real gold, of course, but it's beautifully golden in color. And it has an adjustable band to fit any boy's or girl's finger.
And listen to this smashing surprise. As far as we know, this is the very first ring of its kind in all history to have a secret money compartment.
Believe it or not, a secret money compartment. Big enough to hold a nickel or a dime. Or if you wish, you can use the secret money compartment for hiding secret messages, codes or passwords, or even small pictures.
Get yours right away while they last. Get this official Green Hornet ring. Remember, it's a secret night signaling ring. It has the official seal of the Green Hornet on top, and it has a concealed secret money compartment.
Here's how you get this wonderful ring. Just get the Betty Crocker cereal tray. That's the swell assortment of cereals that gives you 10 individual packages of Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix, all in one handy carton.
Cut out the words Model City, just the words Model City, which you'll see on the Betty Crocker cereal tray, and send at once. Enclose only 15 cents in coin. No stamps, please. That's only 15 cents and your name and address.
Hurry and send today to the Green Hornet, Box 230, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's the Green Hornet, Box 230, Box 230, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, back to our story. It was evening when Jerry Jerome breathed his last. Linda Travis, serving as a nurse, did all that was required of her, then hurried to the public telephone in the hospital lobby. She called Britt Reed at home to give her report. Michael Axford stood at the open door of the booth.
Hello, Mr. Reed. Miss Travis calling.
Tell him you got yourself a job.
You told me to report directly to you. Well, here it is. Jerome is dead, and he did make a statement. Yes, here's just what he said. Quote, "Tell the cops to look behind the tapestry in my living room. They can crack the Talbot case and get the guy that shot me at the same time." Unquote.
Super Snake.
Oh, please, Mr. Axford.
Hey, is that what he told you? Is that what Jerome said? Good gravy, Linda. I mean, Miss Travis.
I can't hear you, Mr. Reed. Axford's making so much noise.
I wish you'd have told me that before you called Reed.
Oh, very well, Mr. Reed. Goodbye. Gee, he said I had a job.
Job? Supper and snakes. You got more than a job, Miss Travis. Why did you tell me what Jerome said?
My instructions were to report to Mr. Reed directly.
But you don't understand. That Talbot case, you know what that was?
No, I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, that was an extortion and a murder, and it was charged to the Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet?
Supper and snakes, Cookie. We got to look into this right away.
What do you mean?
I know where Jerry Jerome lived, and we're going there right now.
You've been particularly interested in this Green Hornet, haven't you, Mr. Axford?
That I have, by golly. Now, come on. We'll get to my car and I'll tell you all I know about
it. Perhaps I'd better report to Dr. Shotton.
There's no need for that. You come here for a certain job and your job is done. Now, let's get going. By golly, we're in the way of a page one headline.
You think we'd better call the police first?
That's up to Reed if he wants to do it.
Very well. Whatever happens is your responsibility.
ain't shot, and look.
Hmm? Look out this window. Isn't that the nurse we're waiting for?
Yes. Yes, it is, my boy.
You said she'd be coming back to this floor.
Apparently, she's changed her mind.
But she knows something. She knows what Jerome said. Hey, look who's with her.
Who?
Doc, something's up. Something funny about that dame. She's with Mike Axford of the Sentinel. They're getting into his car. Shot, and I don't like it. I'm going to follow them. And if they go anywhere near the cops' headquarters, they're going to get the same that Jerome got. Only in the head instead of the chest.
Britt Reed drove his convertible as fast as he dared to reach the home of Jerry Jerome as quickly as possible. At his side rode Cato, his faithful valet, and the only living person who knew that the young publisher was also the Green Hornet.
Hang on, Cato. Sharp turn.
Well, this car not as fast as Black Beauty.
Cato, you have the gas weapon, haven't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
What about the Green Hornet ring you made for me?
Oh, yes, sir. Here it is.
I'll just put it in my vest pocket. Don't expect we'll need it tonight, but it's just as well to be prepared.
Will you not use a Hornet mask?
No, Cato. Tonight I can be myself, Britt Reed.
Oh, that's good.
The role of the Green Hornet is becoming more dangerous all the time.
Well, you'll never be caught if you stay very careful. Increasing caution is called for.
Oh, there's the place, Cato.
Oh, that is Jerome's home?
Yes. We'll see what's behind the tapestry. If we can solve the Talbot case, we can remove one of the black marks that's been chalked against the Hornet.
Britt left his car in the rear of the suburban home, then stationed Cato to stand guard and went inside. A few minutes later, Michael Axford drove up with Linda Travis in his car.
Why, Mr. Axford, someone's there ahead of us.
By golly, you're right, Miss Travis. There's lights in the house.
No.
We go right ahead. You going to stay here in my car or come inside with me?
Oh, I'm staying with you.
Yeah. Look, the door is open. We can go right in.
Mr. Axford, look who's there.
Reed.
Come right in, Axford. You too, Miss Travis.
Well, Mr. Reed, aren't you working overtime?
Miss Travis, now that you're working for the press, you'll soon realize that the job calls for 24 hours a day.
I'm just a poor working girl now, aren't I?
Reed, did you come here with the same idea we had?
Well, I thought I'd like to make sure of our beat before the police are notified.
What'd you find?
Nothing yet. I just got here a couple of minutes ahead of you. We'll go in the living room and look behind the tapestry.
I didn't see your car. I
left it around back.
Well, there's a tapestry.
Yeah, perhaps that's the one Jerome meant.
Then I'll pull it to the side and we'll see what's in back of it.
If it deals with the Talbot case, I have a pretty fair idea.
Look, there's a panel in the wall.
See if you can open it.
Well, I'll try.
What do you think we'll find, Mr. Reed?
Talbot was murdered because he used some marked money to pay some extortioners. Oh? The money never turned up.
I got this thing. There.
We'll see what's in it.
Reed, there's cash here, lots of it, all stacked up.
Oh, God.
Don't touch that gun, expert.
I wasn't going to.
It may have fingerprints on it.
Holy crow, Reed. If this is the Talbot extortion money, and if this is the gun that killed Talbot, then the Green Hornet didn't have nothing to do with the case.
That's good reasoning, Axford.
That's very interesting. I wonder how many other...
Get him up.
What the...
You!
Hello, nurse.
Pomeroy. What are you doing here?
I could ask the same question, mister. Only I got no time to waste. Turn around, all three of you. Face the wall. They'll tie you up and move you.
Move us?
I'll have to get a couple of my boys to help with this. Too bad, Mr. Reed. You know too much.
I begin to understand... You and Jerome were pretty thick at one time. I wonder if you were together on the Talbot extortion.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Now turn around and face the wall quick.
Better do as he says, Axford.
Oh, but there are three of us here. He can't shoot all of us at one time. If we jump
Don't
in...
Don't try it, Miss Travis. Face the wall as he says.
One man against three of us.
Better move quicker. I'll cut it down to two.
Very well.
At times when discretion is the better part of valor...
Oh, I dare say you're right, Mr. Reed. But I still think we could have gotten the better of him if a couple of us had acted with aggression.
What? Hey, who?
Hey, what's the matter with him?
Oh, the lights. Who turned out the lights?
This ought to hold you.
Reed!
Take care of Miss Travis. There's somebody else in this room.
Come get some light in here. I can't see a thing.
Wait till I find the latch. Reed, where are you? Where are you?
Watch the girl, Axford. I want to get this man.
Britt Reed knew what happened. He had left Cato outside as a guard in case someone like Rod Pomeroy appeared on the scene. He joined his faithful valet in the darkness near his car.
Good work, Cato.
First I give gas to men with gun, then turn out lights.
Cato, I dropped the Green Hornet ring on the floor in there. I hope they find it when the lights go on. Axford and Miss Travis must think the Green Hornet came here. Now, you'll have to go home alone.
Oh, yes, sir.
You may have to walk.
Is that all right?
Those two must think I came alone.
I understand. Well, look. The lights just come on in-house.
Axford found the switch. I hope he found the ring. Now, get going, Cato. I'll see you later.
Oh, yes, sir.
Pete! Hey, where are you?
Right here, Axford. He got away.
Did you see him? Who got away, Pete? Who was it?
Who do you suppose?
I'm asking.
Who was it, Mr. Reed?
I caught up with him, but he held a gun on me. He said he followed Rod here for the express purpose of removing the stigma of the Talbot murder.
Reed, it's the Green Hornet, ain't it?
Right.
By golly, look at this. I found it on the floor where the lights went on. Look at the top of this ring. It's the scene of the Green Hornet.
Ah, he must have dropped it. Better let me have that, Axford. By the way, what about Rod Pomeroy?
Well, he's out cold as a mackerel.
Didn't you hit him?
Yes, but he was already wobbling.
Uh-huh. Where is this Green Hornet now?
He's gone. Didn't you hear his car?
No. I didn't.
It's mighty quiet sometimes, Miss Travis. By golly, that Hornet can move around like a shadow.
Mm-hmm. So it seems.
Axford, you go inside and call the police and wait for them. You can turn Rod Pomeroy, the Talbot money, and a gun over to them.
But, Reed, what about you?
Miss Travis and I will go back to the office. We've got a headline for the next edition, and we're counting on you for the follow-up. That's what I said, Gunnigan. Rod Pomeroy had the drop on all three of us. For once, we can give the Green Hornet a boost instead of a rap.
We can do more than that, Reed. We can take two off the list of crimes that are chalked up against the Hornet.
Hey, that's right, Gunnigan.
How many other crimes are charged to him?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, Gunnigan, this just came from Ashford.
Let's have it.
Oh, is that what we're waiting for?
It is. The police found that the gun belonged to Pomeroy, and it was the gun that killed Talbot. The cash was Talbot's marked money. It's an open and shut case against Pomeroy. Now we can smash the next edition. And, oh, boy, what a story. Eh, Miss Travis?
Not for me. I'm interested in the Green Hornet.
Miss Travis, don't worry about the Green Hornet. If you want to get along with the Daily Sentinel, stick to the assignments as they're given to you. I'll take care of the Green Hornet.
Pepper, read all about the Talbot expose. Pomeroy held. Green Hornet cleared of charges. Read all about it. Sentinel XB Pepper.
Now remember, send today for your official Green Hornet ring. Send only 15 cents in coin, your name and address, and the words Model City, cut from the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Mail your letter at once to the Green Hornet, Box 230, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You've been listening to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the cereal assortment of individual packages of Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Just look at Miss Lou Bell acting coy in that newfangled dress. She's feeling her Cheerios. Yes, Cheerios, the ready-to-eat breakfast cereal made from oats. Good, old-fashioned, nourishing oats. Sure, Cheerios gives the kind of nourishment generations of Americans have grown up on. Youngsters really go for the shape of Cheerios, too. Cheerios looks like little letter O's. Remember, O stands for oats. That's what Cheerios is made from. Try Cheerios. Be with us again next week at the same time when General Mills will again present The Green Hornet. This copyrighted feature originates in Detroit, and all characters, places, and incidents used are fictitious. Al Neal speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.